Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
Hey, yo.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. The Mets get swept in Pittsburgh. Rodgers is building a new team in Pittsburgh. And there is a race for that American League MVP award. We'll begin today's show with the never-ending season of the NBA, which is now on to its second week after the finals. The NBA draft was last week, and there's been a lot of players re-signing, opting in, opting out. And since the season has ended, which team has gotten better and which teams have gotten worse?
Well, I think you need to go and talk about, first things first, the shitstorm that is going on in Milwaukee right now. You buy out Dame Lillard, you trade Connaughton, you bring in Miles Turner, and now Giannis is not happy. Very interesting. Very, very intriguing. What happens here? Where do you go from here? Right?
Yeah.
Does Giannis say, I'm out. I'm tired of this. Get rid of it. You know, just trade. I'm done with it. You brought in a guy. Now there's a guy. Miles Turner, for his career, averages 14-7-1. 14-7-1. And it's not like he's a young project. He's 29. So clearly, this is a reinforcement down low if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. Right? You brought back Bobby Portis. You brought, you know, you're remaking this team on the fly. You know you're not going to have Dame Lillard next year. You know he's out because of the Achilles. So, cut him loose. It's a financial decision. It's the only way you can afford to bring in Miles Turner is to make all these moves. Now, if it costs you your superstar, then maybe it costs you your superstar because you have Giannis, who's older than Miles Turner. Maybe you can kind of reshape this team on the fly and become contenders once again in the Eastern Conference. You gotta look at Houston, man. Houston's making moves. Houston is bringing in guys. They brought in Finney Smith. They brought in Clint Capella. They traded for Kevin Durant. Like, they're, Houston is galvanizing itself to be a true number two. A true contender for that spot. Maybe even pushing to challenge Oklahoma City. Right? So, there's that. On the periphery, the Knicks bench got better. Still not where they need to be. Right? Ty Jerome got paid. So, good for Ty Jerome. I think
He's on Memphis now.
Good for Ty Jerome. A friend of the show, sixth man of the year, Ty Jerome. Sixth man in our hearts, Ty. But the Lakers are in flux. We're going to talk about LeBron in a little bit. The Nets, they pulled off the Michael Porter Jr. trade. You know, the Nuggets have started to reinforce a little bit. They went and got Valanciunas from the Kings. I like Valanciunas. I think that's a good move. I really like what he brings.
He's going to the Nuggets, right?
He's going to the Nuggets, yeah.
To back up
the Joker.
Right.
They sent out Dario Saric. They brought in Valanciunas. I think that's going to be a good net move for them. So, the Mavericks, they brought in D'Angelo Russell to back up Kyrie Irving. They're kind of reinforcing themselves alongside Cooper Flagg, alongside Clay, alongside AD. They look better as well. They lost Tim Hardaway, but hey, no big deal. I think he actually went to the Nuggets, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, there you go. So, lots of moving pieces, lots of veteran pieces. For all the people who are staying, a lot of guys are moving too. So, of the teams that I think got better, Houston, absolutely. Dallas.
I think they got Clint Capella back too.
They got Capella. They got Dorian Finney-Smith too. So they hurt the Lakers and they got better. So I like what the Rockets are doing. I like what the Mavericks are doing. I'm confused by what the Bucks are doing. The Knicks are telling people they have a coach, right? They're gonna get this done, right? They interviewed Dawn Staley, apparently. Mike Brown has a second interview, so you figure by next week, Mike Brown will be the head coach of the Knicks.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be that team not with a chair in this game of musical chairs. So Dolan and Rose got to say, hey, we are going to have a coach by next week. We are good. So please sign with us. And they got Jordan Clarkson, I believe. The Knicks did, right? Yeah, the Knicks got
him. I think they did, yeah.
Yeah, so it addresses the bench issue. He's a quality sixth man. And this next head coach will probably use more of a rotation. You would think so. And then they brought in Gershon. I forget his last name. Chibelwe, I believe. I'm butchering that name. Sorry, Gershon. But he's coming over from Philly. He's having a little bit of resurgence. And most likely Precious Achiuwa is going to walk.
Yeah.
But they're reinforcing themselves. The Nets got a little bit better with Michael Porter Jr. But the biggest head scratcher, I keep coming back to it, is Milwaukee. What are you going to do? Because now you pissed off Giannis.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they're... I don't know. I mean, by going to get Miles Turner, I feel like you're going for it, right? You're getting rid of Dame Lillard because he can't play this year. I mean, and when he comes back in the second year, we don't know what he's going to be. You don't even know if Giannis is going to be on the team then. So, you know, I'm fine with what they're doing. I'm assuming there are more moves to go, which include probably moving Giannis or trying to team him with somebody else. I agree with you. I love what Denver's done. I think Denver is figuring out, you know, we've got another run at this and we need depth. Because I think they also went and got Brown from their championship team. And then Hardaway is a shooter, so he's pretty much taking the place of Michael Porter Jr., right? And I would assume he's cheaper.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
He cleared up some cap space there. You get in Valanciunas, who can be the backup for the Joker, but you could also put them both on the floor, right? And he, you know, so I like what they're doing there. Another team that I like what they're doing, I like what the Hawks are doing, dude. Like... I think they're gonna give Trae Young one last chance this year. We're gonna find out what Trae Young is really made of. Not that we don't know already, but this is gonna be, you know, to me the moves the Hawks made are telling me that they're going for it this year. They went and just got Luke Kennard, who's a good shooter. They traded for Porzingis, right? And then they have Alexander Walker, who they drafted, or they traded for him, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like these moves, man, and a weakened East, because the Pacers are out, right? Pacers are out. Okay, they're just shipped off Miles Turner. They're not going to have Halliburton next year, Wash year, okay? The Heat are still trying to figure out what they're going to do. Duncan Robinson is gone. So Tyler Hero's all they got, and that ain't winning shit. Boston,
Bam for now.
Boston is still dismantling their team, but they are not going to be competing. The Raptors fired their GM, so you know the East is up in flux. The West is going to be rough, man, though, because Dallas, the San Antonio Spurs. I like the things that they're doing. The Houston Rockets got Kevin Durant, Clint Capella. They re-signed Jabari Smith, which was huge for them. teams I don't know what they're doing, or I don't know how well they're going to play, I'm really confused with what the Pelicans are doing, right? You still got the rotting carcass of Zion, right? And then you decide... then you decide... What'd you say?
It's appropriate. It's apt. Yeah. Like,
then you decide that you're going to trade McCollum and Olynyk, veterans, for Jordan Poole and Sadiq Bey. It's like, all right, yes. And then in the draft, you trade up. You trade the 23rd pick, unprotected 2026 first round pick to the Atlanta Hawks to get the 13th overall pick. You take Derek Queen. And Derek Queen is good. He's good. But an unprotected 2026 first round pick? Are you out your mind, man? Right? And then you had the 7th overall pick. You take Jeremiah Fears. All right. I mean, he's a good guard from Oklahoma. He's all right. And then they get Micah Peavy, 40th overall. You go and sign Kevon Looney. Is that right? But I don't know. I think the problem still sits with Zion, you know? I mean, they definitely reshaped their roster, but Z, it feels to me like they're still trying to build around Zion, the guy that don't fucking play.
I don't understand it. I really don't understand what they see that we don't see.
Unless they feel like they have no choice. They feel like they're backed into a corner. But I'm sure there's a team that would take him. You know, I'm sure there are teams that would take that problem. He's just a problem at this point. It just didn't work out, man. And it's not going to all of a sudden, one day, it's just going to click for him. You know, he's getting older. He's getting younger. And he just can't stay on the court. No,
but I think they're banking on the fact that Zion plus Jordan Poole plus DeJounte Murray, you know, plus Sadiq Bey and these draft picks and Kayvon Looney, like, they can't really seriously think they're going to compete in the West. They can't. Absolutely not.
And if that's... Right. And if you... Right. And then the whole thing, like, if you don't think you can... If you think you can compete in the West, then you need to get your head examined. And if you know that you can't, then what the fuck are you doing?
At this point, you need to treat Zion like an onerous contract. You need to treat Zion as a change of scenery guy. You got to trade one bad contract for another.
Right. Right.
That's the plan. Now,
I agree.
The problem is that they have so many guards that I would, you know, I was like, okay, my first thought was, okay, trade him to the Suns for Bradley Beal. There you go. One untradeable contract for another. The problem is that you would now have even more guards on the Pelicans. It helps the Suns. It doesn't help you if you're the Pelicans. So who is an onerous contract out there that they could take back in exchange for Zion, right? Or is he a Laker? Are they just trying to figure out a way where it's palatable to send him to the
Knicks? I think the Knicks should get in on it, honestly.
The Knicks would be interesting.
For pennies on the dollar.
What would it take? That's the thing.
Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell Robinson both and OG Anunoby.
No. Mitchell Robinson, yeah. Maybe. OG, no. I think that the injury history of both of those guys torpedoes that trade. Mitchell Robinson gets hurt a lot. Zion is notorious for getting hurt. So, if anything, that would be, I mean, if the money could work out. But, you know, then you have to worry about pick swaps and things of that nature. But Zion is definitely one of those guys who is a major what could have been, right? And now that the NBA draft is over, we can start thinking, we start reflecting on that, because you always see the Len Bias stuff out there, and, you know, the what could have been, and that was a tragic situation. But was there a player that you were really excited to see coming out of college, or high school for that matter, and just shit the bed, or just wasn't as good as you expected him to be?
Yeah, so for me, there are two people that come to mind when you mention that. The first one is Michael Beasley. I was all in on Michael Beasley. This guy was the number four recruit in America. He was at Kansas State. He was averaging 26 and 12, and he was over 50% from the field, and he could shoot the three. And I thought he was going to be the next Charles Barkley. I really did. I thought he was going to be that good. You know, I always say that LeBron is like a mixture of like Magic, Charles Barkley, and like, you know, another player. Like, you know, I always thought that he was, you know, he was Charles Barkley on steroids. But I legit thought Michael Beasley was going to be the next Charles Barkley. And then he got to the league and he just was like smoking and just not, it felt like he wasn't taking it seriously. And he started out in Miami, he bounced around Minnesota, then Phoenix, back to Miami, Houston, which I thought was giving him another chance, Milwaukee. Then he was a Knick. I didn't even know he was a Knick when he was 29.
That's right. And
then he was a Laker, and then he's been out of the league for 6 years. And it's terrible. In the league, he only averaged 12 and 4. That's just not what I expected from him. And then another guy, which I get made fun of about, was I legit thought Lonzo Ball was going to be the next Jason Kidd. Like, because he was a 6'6 guard from California. Like, he just looked the part, dude. Like, he could pass. He could shoot. He could go to the basket. And he was another guy. He was a number three of the top 100, according to RSCI. He shot over 50% from the field. He was over 40% from three. And I just thought, this is Jason Kidd. He's going to be the next Jason Kidd. He's going to have a long career. He's going to play for a bunch of teams. He's going to be dishing dimes to everybody. And his numbers are just embarrassing. Like, he averages 11 points a game. He averages 5 rebounds. He's averaging 11 and 5 as a point guard. And, I mean, he's been with... Well, he got drafted by the Lakers. He was with the Pelicans. He was with Chicago. He didn't play in 2022. He didn't play for 2 years, 2022 to 2024. Oh, and then last year, he had limited games with Chicago. The dude's always hurt. I mean, he's making money, but he ain't playing. And his brother's better than him. His brother's way better than him. So Lonzo, those are two guys. Yeah, what?
He's going to get a chance in Cleveland now. I think he got traded to the Cavs.
He did. Yeah, he did. He did. But, I mean, it doesn't matter at this point. How old is he now? It doesn't matter. Like, he's not going to be... It's not like he's going to resurrect his career. He's 28 years old. It's not... It's over. We know what he is.
If he ever stayed healthy, that was going to be the issue, right? And eventually, you know, there are late bloomers who do figure out their health. It does happen. Not everybody's like a Yao Ming where their body just fails. Or Greg Oden, for that matter. But if you think about the hype, right, of the NBA draft, and you think about expectations, number one is Darko. Like, number one, where the expectations did not match the reality was Darko.
For you?
In general.
Like, oh, okay. I mean, were you...
Yeah,
I mean,
you buy into that. You have LeBron...
Because when Darko was coming out, I didn't know. I didn't really know. I didn't see a lot of him. I didn't know what he was. Kind of like Luka Doncic. Like, I didn't really know... Or Dirk. I didn't know what he was.
Well, there's the difference right there, right? You give me Luka, you give me Dirk. Dirk, you had to be, like... You had to follow, like, FIBA. You know, you had to, like, be... deep into that. You could see Darko highlight. I mean, you could see Luka highlights on YouTube and stuff like that if you knew where to look. Dirk, you had to go like to German national team, right? It was the stuff of lore. Charles Barkley was like, this guy is going to light the NBA on fire. And he was 18 at the time. Like, Charles Barkley knows ball. We know this. So he can evaluate talent, and Dirk has talent. Darko, there was so much smoke. There was so much hype. And you want to believe. You know? Going into that draft, you had Melo. You had LeBron. And then you want to believe. And I thought that he might have a shot. And going to the Pistons, right? You figure, okay, they might be onto something.
Could you imagine if the Pistons would have taken Carmelo Anthony?
Shit. That would have been, you want to talk about what might have been? You want to talk about that? Absolutely. Like, maybe they would have won another title. But for the heaviness of the expectations, 6-4-1. That was Mr. Milicic's career in the NBA. In less than 500 games. So expectations were absolutely high. You're going to think it's ridiculous. But Adam Morrison.
No, I actually was going to say the same thing.
Watching Adam Morrison at Gonzaga.
Same thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, you would figure he'd shoot the lights out.
Yeah. Yeah. Nope. No, I'm with you on that. Nope. It was another guy that I was like, wow, he's going to translate really well. And it was a time when, like, you know, Dirk had, I think, just went to the finals or was starting to do his thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I was like, oh, man, he's going to really be, like, another big guy in this league and just be all over. And then he got drafted to the perfect place. I'm pretty sure he went to the Lakers, right?
I think he was on the Bobcats first.
Oh, he got on the Bobcats
first. And then
first.
They traded him to the Lakers.
And then he went to the Lakers. He won a championship with the Lakers.
I believe he did, yes. But not much of a contributor on that team, which is crazy considering the amount of hype and how skilled he was as a shooter. Like, we're not talking about Jimmer Fredette where that's all he can do. Like,
that was another guy that I thought was going to play well in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean,
good G Leaguer, though.
A good G Leaguer. Not very good at U.S. men's 3-on-3. Like, he was on the Olympic team, and they got their asses scraped. But, you know, and one guy, you know, I was intrigued by, mostly because of the local tie-in. Like, I wanted to see what Sebastian Telfair would be in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's got the pedigree. He's related to Stephon Marbury. Like, he's got, like, you know, came through Christ the King. You know, you have all of that hype surrounding. And he was nothing. You know, he was absolutely nothing in the league. But you hope for a local kid like that, that he would somehow, like, rise to the occasion. And then the last one for me is a little bit selfish with the Knicks. I really hoped that Michael Sweetney was going to become Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
Like, coming out of Penn State, that guy was such a vicious rebounder. He got everything. He seemed to get everything when he was at Penn State. And the motherfucker ate himself out of the league. Ate himself out of the league. Couldn't stay in shape. Couldn't stay healthy. Much like Zion.
They had another guy. They had another Michigan. They had a Michigan guy that was a forward. Can't remember his name.
The Knicks have had so many guys. Like Eddie Curry. You could put Eddie Curry on this list. Like, I would put Eddie Curry on this list as well. An underachiever.
How about Emeka Okafor.
Emeka
Okafor.
If he had a healthy back, he would have been Hall of Famer.
Emeka Okafor.
I think so.
Got his accounting degree.
Good for Mr. Okafor. Emeka, if you want to come on, we'd love to have you on and talk ball. Absolutely.
Who's the other guy, the Blazers? Odin. Greg Oden.
Greg Oden. Yep. His body Greg failed Oden. Him. His body mm-hmm. absolutely failed him. But there's so many different reasons as to why guys don't pan out, right? It's either like the personal demons or the thinking that, okay, I'm in the league, I made it. Now I don't need to be as hungry. Yeah, you got there. Now you gotta stay there. Staying there is harder than getting there.
How about Christian Laettner?
he kind of underachieved. I mean, he was a
I think he's the best college basketball player ever.
Yeah.
So to go from best basketball college player, he did play on the Dream Team.
Yeah.
And I think he might have made a couple of All-Star teams.
Pistons. Yeah.
Because I think he got drafted. I think what messed him up is he kind of got drafted by Minnesota. And I think that kind of... Or did he got drafted by Minnesota, right? Or did he get drafted by the Grizzlies?
I think he got Minnesota.
Drafted by Minnesota. Yeah. And I think that just... That wasn't a good fit for a person like him. Because I think he started smoking pot up there. And he just kind of was doing the minimum. Like, doing whatever. And thinking that was going to get him by. And I'm sure he got paid. Like, he got... You know, he played for Team USA. And then he was playing, he was playing for the league, and maybe that's what led to it. I don't know, but I remember Leitner, and Bobby Hurley too, right? I thought Bobby Hurley would have been really great. Jason Williams,
White Chocolate?
No, the one that was on Duke.
Jay Williams. Okay, yeah.
Jay Williams.
The motorcycle
accident. Motorcycle accident jacked him up.
Yeah.
But he was another guy that was like, wow, like, he's such a good guard and such a good player.
Well, think about, what about, like, even, like, a deeper cut? Like, a guy like Bryant Reeves. Like, so... Big Country was, like, such a big deal. Robert, a tractor trailer. Another guy coming out of Michigan. Like, these guys were, like... monsters down low.
Big dudes.
And then they ran up against guys who were bigger than them. And ran up against guys faster. That were stronger and stronger and faster, and they couldn't hang.
Yeah. No, there's a bunch of guys that come through and you're like, what? How did that happen? Like, you know, it's just like, you just don't know. You don't know. You really don't know. Anything, especially with the foreign guys, sometimes they work out and sometimes they didn't. You know, because then there's also those guys that like surprise you, like the Joker. I didn't think the Joker was going to be that great. And even Kawhi Leonard. I mean, I know Kawhi Leonard went to the Clippers and he's probably never going to win again. But what he did with the Spurs, like playing defense on LeBron, pretty much shutting him down, you know, and then winning the championship with the Spurs, then going to Toronto for 1 year. Just 1 year. And winning Toronto's only championship. Something the Maple Leafs should try to figure out. Well, and then...
Can Kawhi skate?
Right? Tavares back to the Maple Leafs, by the way.
I saw that. Marner's out.
But man, that is just so impressive. He had just like... this 4 or 5 year run. And by the way, when he went to Toronto, he played in, I believe, 60 regular season games, and he played in every single playoff game leading up to that championship.
Wow.
Right? Isn't that crazy?
He's not even sniffing that.
You can't. It's not happening, bro.
No. Think about the shit that he has to do to his body. It'd just be hell. It's not
happening, bro. But the other thing is like, you know, you think about teams like the Thunder, who just seem to be able to draft well, right?
Yeah.
They have, you know, they got Harden. They had Durant. They had Westbrook. Now they got a new crop. They got Holmgren. They traded for SGA. You know, one of the things that I think the NBA needs to look at, and maybe football needs to take a look at this too. How about rewarding teams for the way they draft, right? Like, if you draft well, maybe the players you draft don't count against your salary cap. You know, like if you wanted to pay your a homegrown player a max contract, you should be able to do that, right? You shouldn't be, you know, because look, the Thunder are not going to be able to be the Thunder anymore. Because they can't pay everybody. That's why. Otherwise, I'm sure Sam Presti would love to run it back with this team. But he can't. Because just like when, you know, James Harden and Kevin Durant and Westbrook, they got to the NBA Finals. He's like, all right, well, I want to get paid now. And he's like, well, I can't pay all of you, so I think James is the worst. So, James, you got to go. And same thing's going to happen with the Thunder. It's like, you have, you know, you're going to have, they just gave SGA his extension. You've got to assume, I mean, we both are on the assumption that Chet's not going to get it.
No.
And that they're going to keep Williams. Right? That's what we think. But if they did wind up keeping Chet, that's like at least $147 million. And now you can't keep Williams or anybody else. And then the other part is the dynamics of your team get all fucked up, right? Like they're paying SGA this large extension. And then they're going to be able to pay one more player. So either Chet or Williams. And now, not that the rest of the team get breadcrumbs, but the rest of the team don't make as much money. So then you get into a situation where if SGA or Chet or SGA or Williams were to go down, well, now we're not playing with a full deck. And how is that fair? Like, I get that, you know, you want... I understand free agency, and it's fair for, you know, players to pick where they go. But don't cut me down because I've drafted so well. And the same thing with, I think this would also work really good with the NFL because, like, look at a team like Cincinnati who don't like to pay players. They go and they drafted Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is our guy. He's going to be a Bengal for the rest of his life. I'm going to pay him so much money, but I'm ready cheap, so I'm not paying anybody else. Other than Jamar Chase. I'm paying Jamar Chase. And Higgins will give him some money too. But now, they can't even sign their draft picks. They can't bring back one of their best defensive player because they can't fit players under the cap. What? I think there's got to be some kind of exception for that.
Well, it's a crapshoot. You know, it's always a crapshoot when you get into drafting. So it definitely... It speaks to scouting.
You'd be surprised. Like, even a team like Dallas. Dallas doesn't sign free agents, but man, they draft well. The Dallas Cowboys draft well. They draft well. They do.
They do. Like, in
New England, terrible. Terrible.
Recently, yes.
Terrible.
Recently, terrible. Yes.
Terrible.
But it really does speak to the quality of the scouting and the quality of the voice, right? And it also helps where your owner is your GM, right? There's no conflict there. Jerry Jones, he wants his guy. He's going to take it. He's going to rely on his scouting, and then he's going to make a decision. You know, that kind of helps in that regard. Now, as for negotiation for free agency, that's fucking terrible, right? That's not you're dealing directly with this crazy old coup. So that becomes a problem. So I don't know what the compensation should be for, you know, excellence in drafting, excellence in scouting. But I mean, teams do need to be rewarded for that somehow, because that's what's going to keep you sustained. And maybe that's it. Maybe the sustained winning is what is going to be the inherent reward for it. You know, because you're not going to, you create a different set of rules almost, because, okay, those players don't count against your cap, but then now you have all this extra money to play with. Now you can infuse it with other people. Like, that's a, you know, I know what you're saying about rewarding the guys you have, but you also have this money where you can infuse it in other places, in other areas. So I don't know if that's the way to go, but there definitely needs to be some sort of compensation for that. But you definitely see teams are starting to turn around, right? Look at Pistons. Pistons finally have started to get turned around because they've drafted, right? They've drafted well with Cade Cunningham. They've built that team through the draft, and they've sucked for a long time. And now the winning is what is the reward for them.
Right, because they just went and got Duncan Robinson.
They just got him for... They traded a guard as part of a sign-and-trade for him. But yeah, they're finally reaping the benefits. They're finally reaping the reward of sucking for so long, but they built it through the draft. And they're now supplemented. And I think that goes a long way.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
But speaking of going a long way, LeBron has opted into his contract with the Lakers for the first time in his NBA career. He's going to opt into his contract. And he's making over 50 mil. So I would opt in too. I don't blame him. He said he's going to be monitoring, right? He's going to be monitoring what goes on with the Lakers' moves in the offseason. As presently constituted, it's hard to see how this team could compete for a championship, even with a full year of Luka, an improved Bronny, like, you name it. You know, Magic Johnson coming back. Like, I don't know. Like, you name it. So do you see a path where LeBron and Bronny finish the season elsewhere?
Yeah, I do. I actually, you know, how about Cleveland? How about Cleveland getting involved, right? They could use LeBron. And, you know, nobody wants Bronny. I think Kristen Okrist wants them to get rid of Darius Garland. I think he would work well for the Lakers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's a true point guard, I believe. You know what? I mean, I know we're a New York show, but how about the Knicks? I mean, could you see a situation where after everything is said and done, you know, in, let's say, the end of August, and LeBron looks at the Lakers and is like, we're not winning, you know, so I want to play for the Knicks. Send me to New York, you know? I could see that, right? Because, I mean, at this point, that's what's coming down to. Like, if this is his last year, which I could see this being his last year, you want to play and compete for a title. And as good as Luka and LeBron could be, they're not beating Houston. I don't know if they're going to beat Dallas. Like, I don't know if they're not beating the Thunder. They're not going to beat this new and improved Denver team. So where is he going to come from? Like, is he going to go to Boston? Is he going to replace Tatum for this year? You know? Everyone says the Golden State Warriors. I don't think that does much. It's just a bunch of old people playing. Like, I don't think him and Steph are winning anything.
Well, Jimmy would have to go back the other way, right?
Yeah, in that situation, I would think they would want Jimmy, and I think he'd want to go too. Yeah, I mean, that would be what I would think. If I'm Cleveland, I'm calling them, seeing what's it going to take. Because, I mean, I would love to pair him with Mobley and pair him with Mitchell. And I think, you know, his defense alone would help out huge on that team. And then, like, the Nick thing is just, like, a basic... They need that kind of star power. You know, it would be him. In that case scenario, you're giving up Mitchell Robinson, you're giving up OG, and he's going back. I don't know if the money works out for the Knicks, though. That might be too much money. But yeah,
I don't see a way, especially, you know, he's got 1 year left on his deal. So this is like a perfect scenario. It's a rental, you know? I don't see him playing with the Lakers for the whole season.
If the Knicks are in on this, I think either Cat or Bridges has to be going back in the other way to offset that money.
No, I don't think so. Why? Because of money?
Because of money.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's making 50-something million dollars. You have 58. You have to offset that somehow. So yeah. It might end up being...
Unless the Lakers pay it.
Right.
So, unless the Lakers are going to pick it up, which I would... That's what I would ask for.
So, okay, then I would be a little bit more willing to do that. But... if you look at the totality of everything, they're not better than the Thunder. They're not better than the Grizzlies. They're not better than the Rockets. They're not better than the Mavericks. They're not better than the Nuggets. They're not better than the Timberwolves. They're not better than... That's already the 8th seed. If you're lucky. Right? I'd argue they're not better than the Clippers. That's 9. Yeah, you're right in the thick of, even with Luka.
Houston, did you say Houston?
I said the Rockets.
Yeah, yeah. No way. Houston's Houston's looking good, man.
No, this is an absolute pipe dream. Like, you're in the thick.
Spurs.
You're not better than the Spurs. That's
Spurs
10.
Spurs are good.
That's 10. That's 10 right there. So, even with Luka, that's the fucked up part. Because you're looking at it. And, okay, you got Luka, you got Hashimura, you have Hayes, you have Kinect, you have Bronny and LeBron, Austin Reeves, Vanderbilt, Vincent had a good year 2 years ago. That's not good enough. You brought in Jake LaRavia, 23-year-old forward, 6'7", 235. I don't see it. I just don't see it. Because it's not there. It's just not there, man. So, the question is, like, are you going to be aggressive about it now? Or are you going to give it a go? Because the longer you wait, right? He's gonna be 41 on...
December, right?
Yeah, he's going to be 41 in December. The longer you wait on this, the greater the chance is that he's going to get hurt.
I don't know. He doesn't usually get hurt. I think the longer you wait, then different teams become interested, right? That's the whole problem.
But in the words of Shaq, 41 ain't 31, bro. Like,
I don't know.
He
had an amazing season. I mean, I couldn't do what he's doing. Like, he really didn't show, like, that he was slowing down. I want to say he averaged... let me see what he averaged. I'm pretty sure he averaged, like, over 28 points a game.
Good. But then, the year before, slowed. The year before that, he was slow. So
he averaged 25 a game. 25, 7,
good.
And 8. And he shot over 50% from the fucking field. Jeez.
And then, what did that get him? Absolutely. Ugas.
Got him a first class ticket home.
Ugas is what I got. So they're not trading Luka because they just got him.
No, he's the future.
Yeah, you want to rebuild around Luka. So what other asset do you have that can do that? It's LeBron. All right? Rui Hachimura is not getting you anything. Sorry. Jackson Hayes is not getting you anything. Right? Austin Reeves is not getting you anything. LeBron is the big ticket. LeBron is... It's like, if you trade him to the Celtics, who are you getting back? Derek White? You're pairing LeBron with Jaylen Brown? Like, that's the plan, right?
Yep.
So, you gotta give up an asset. So, whether you send Derek White back the other direction, like, you know, maybe. The Knicks?
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. But the Knicks... I mean, that's been the pipe dream for years, right? For Knicks fans, it's like, oh, we're going to get LeBron. You're going to get LeBron when he's 41 years old in the last year in the league. that's when you're going to get fucking LeBron, because that's the Knicks fan's lot in life. But what's it going to cost, right? Is it going to cost you OG? Is it going to cost you Cat? Or is it going to cost you, like, it's a serious conversation that needs to be had. Eventually, you get to the point where it's too rich for your blood. For a one-year rental of a guy who may not play in year 42, right? He may not be. And you may have to take on Bronny, too. Like, hey, you want me? We're going to, kid's a package.
Yeah, you're definitely taking him because nobody else wants him.
LeBron James Jr. has been assigned to the Westchester Knicks. Like, there you go. You're taking him to send him directly to the G League.
That would be awesome because that's right down the street from my house.
Oh, dude, it's in White Plains. We could be there in 20 minutes. It's fantastic.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. Really care about what's under your hood.
But speaking about players that nobody wants, Aaron Rodgers is building his new team in Pittsburgh. The Steelers traded Mika Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey. They also seem to be shopping TJ Watt. So what do you think of the recent moves by the Steelers?
Well,
like how Darren Waller decided he wants to play again and he gets traded to the Dolphins for Jonnu Smith. That was interesting.
It's weird because the Giants traded Waller for, I think, a draft pick.
Sixth round or seventh round.
Jonnu Smith went back to Pittsburgh, who has a good tight end already in Freiermuth. So now you have Freiermuth and Smith. I don't understand the Jalen Ramsey part of it. Now, when Jalen Ramsey was at the height of his game, he was one of the best corners in the league.
You don't understand it. Aaron Rodgers wants him. That's why he's there. Right?
Has no one learned? Nobody's learned. What the fuck is wrong with you people? What was wrong with Minka Fitzpatrick? Minka Fitzpatrick was what?
Everyone said he was like the best player besides J.J. Watt on defense.
He is.
Might even be better than J.J. Watt, actually.
You got T.J. Watt, you have Cam Hayward, and then you have Minka Fitzpatrick. Why are you fucking with that? Why are you messing with the core and the identity of this team? If you really wanted Jonnu Smith, you could have probably just made that work. But Jalen Ramsey at this point in time is living off reputation, and frankly, is not worth the headache. He hasn't been worth the headache in years. And yet, there it is, right? And I understand that they're playing hardball with TJ Watt. They're trying to get...
They don't think they're playing hardball. He ain't worth it. We've paid you. You're in the last year of your contract. We're not extending you and giving you more fucking money. I'm with them on that. I'm not giving him more money. Trade him. I think I said it on this show at the end of the season last year. Trade his ass. He ain't that great. I don't think he's that great. He's good. He ain't great. And he's better than his brother. His brother's terrible too. But no, I mean, it's not working. Like, we ain't winning, dude. We're not winning with you. We're not winning. So why am I gonna pay you more money? I don't get that. You don't want to pay the last year of your contract? I totally understand that. And we'll try to trade you. And then wherever you go, you can sign your extension. Okay? Go ahead. Go. We don't win here.
Because they have not been able to settle on a quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger retired. And they're playing the same dog shit ass offense. Where they're just barely white-knuckling it and hanging on to survive. The defense, led by TJ Watt, has been carrying this team for years. And it's been keeping them in that hovering around 500 streak that Coach Tomlin is on. Aaron Rodgers, it appears that he needs another tight end. So there we go. We got Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith is a very capable tight end. He's a sought-after tight end. He can catch the football. That is true. Because what wideouts besides DK Metcalf do they have?
They got rid of George Pickens.
Got rid of Pickens. Got rid of Deontay Johnson. They got rid of Chase Claypool. You keep going. So everybody that goes in there is eventually going to get shown the door. So the running game still in flux. Not sure what that's going to be outside of Jalen Warren. They didn't get better with this trade. Yeah, you brought in Jalen. What do you fucking do? You brought in Jalen Ramsey. You didn't get better. And I get it. People, you know, quarterbacks aren't going to throw it to Jalen Ramsey. Okay, there's the other side of the field. They're still going to make their bones, and they're still going to get what they need to get. So it's just another name. We saw this with the Jets. They went fucking star hunting. They went star fucking. And what happened at the end of the day? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The Jets franchise got gutted. The team was destroyed. And Mr. Rodgers promptly left the neighborhood. I hope Pittsburgh is prepared for this, because this is how it crumbles. This is how it comes to an end.
Oh, it seems like it's doomed. It's inevitable failure, right? I don't see... you see the Pittsburgh Steelers going to the Super Bowl?
Hell,
I sure as hell don't.
Hell no. I'm already on record. I see them as 9-8, losing in the first round. What were they
sounds
last year?
Right.
9-8, lost in the first round. Like, that's where they are. That's who they are. It's in their DNA. It's the system that Arthur Smith runs on offense. It's the bend but don't break on defense, having to carry that offense. You didn't get better, right? You thought firing Matt Canada was the issue. It turns out it wasn't Matt Canada. You guys have struggled since Roethlisberger left. You struggled since Matt Canada left. You struggled since Le'Veon Bell left. You struggled since Antonio Brown left. There needs to be a new voice in Pittsburgh. I'm not saying it's Mike Tomlin, because Mike Tomlin is doing a good enough job as CEO to keep this team afloat, right? He keeps them in and around the playoffs. But you need to take a chance. You need to have an offense that isn't so conservative. You need to come up with a scenario where the offense can carry the defense for once. What a novel concept. You don't have to white knuckle every game. You don't have to beat your opponents into submission defensively. Wouldn't it be nice to just have a laugher in Pittsburgh sometimes? It would be great. It doesn't always need to be black and blue for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top notch, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223, or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
Speaking of black and blue. Oh, the Mets were able to split their series with the Braves, but then went to Pittsburgh. Oh, it all comes full circle back to Pittsburgh. and they got their asses kicked. They got their doors blown off by the pirates, swept out of the Steel City, being outscored 30-4. There was a team meeting, players only, and then they promptly got their asses kicked 12-1. Travis Jankowski finished that game. Big deal, little deal, or no deal?
I just think it's a little deal. I mean, I believe they're probably in second place in the NL East, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little deal. I mean, I do think they need to figure shit out. I think Cohen just got his gambling license that he's trying to put a casino over there in the city field, and maybe that's got his attention. I mean, they're two games back. I don't think it's the end of the world here. Let me see what their run differential is.
They're
still plus 39 run differential. 3-7 in their last 10. I think it's a little deal. They did what they had to do against the Braves. I think it was important that they split with them. And then, you know, you go to Pittsburgh and you're thinking it's going to be a laugher, and you know, Pittsburgh came to play. They slapped the shit out of you, and now I think they're opening up a series in Milwaukee. Try to split with Milwaukee. Like, let's get back to the home stretch and not look silly here.
It's a humongous deal, and here's why it's a humongous deal. If it was that they were just coming off, you know, we had a little three-game losing streak, you know, 1-2, and then, okay, shit happens. After the previous 2 weeks that you had, where you got your asses beat by the Phillies and the Braves. Now, in division, right? In division counts for more. So, you got exposed every single way.
Exposed
every single way imaginable. Your offense can't hit with runners in scoring position. Outside of the top four in your lineup, you got Ugats. They had to send Alvarez to AAA, for God's sake. And Mauricio might be right there with him. If I see him make one more fucking error, I swear to God. Vientos coming back, he's struggling. You start to wonder, right, what was the aberration? Last year or this year? Every other year at the major league level has been kind of meh. Last year was the breakout. So what was the outlier? Was it last year? Or is it, you know, is it what's going on right now? The starting rotation can't afford to keep losing guys. You got Montas back. Oh, great. He pitched well against the Braves. Got destroyed by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Destroyed by the Pirates. What are we doing here? Are you kidding me? You can't afford to run Paul Blackburn out there after a rain delay. Why he's going out there, I don't know. And now he's...
Paul, we need to go back out there. What?
Why? Sure, I guess. That's fine. And then promptly got his ass beat. No Senga, no Manaya. I would have loved for Tylor McGill.
The Senga thing is hilarious. Yeah, McGill is hurt.
My motherfucker
ain't coming.
Yeah. Manaya.
He ain't coming back until the playoffs.
No, he's not. Hamstrings are tricky. But Manaya. Skip, I'm feeling good. I think I'm ready. I'm on track to... Fuck, what's this in my elbow? Come on. Clay Holmes is running up against his innings limit. Dude's thrown almost 100 innings. Already. The last time he threw 100 innings, I think, was his rookie year. Griffin Canning's leg exploded. He looked like Tyrese Halliburton.
Frankie Montas is back, man.
And he got destroyed by the Pirates. I know, I saw. come on. Come on. Thank God for Club World Cup and Gold Cup. It gives me something to watch. It gives me something to distract myself. But they got to figure out the starting rotation. And the bullpen's been terrible, too. The bullpen, which was stout at the beginning of the year. The pitching carried this team at the beginning of the year. The offense chipped in when it could. But the pitching was really the focal point. Now that the pitching is failing, the offense needs to step up. Now that the bullpen is failing, the offense needs to step up. And it's not happening. It's not happening. Lindor has his moments. Soto's been good as of late. Alonso's looked lost. Shocker. Alonso was equatorially hot and now looks lost. Nimmo's been solid. You get occasional contributions from McNeil. McNeil kind of looks like the guy who won the batting title. Sometimes. But you can't keep sending up automatic outs. Tyrone Taylor, solid player, good defensive player, doesn't give you much with the bat. Very rarely. Beatty, up and down. Struggles of a young player. Mauricio, up and down. Struggles of a young player. Luis Torrens, he's a backup. He's a backup. This is why he's a backup. I'm going to say it again. This is why he's a backup. They can't win the division now, but they certainly can fall back to the pack enough where they have to scratch and claw to fight for a wild card just like last year. They can create enough separation with the Phillies, who just got Bryce Harper back, mind you. They just got him back. So it's not reactionary to think after the month of June that they had that they got to put their foot on the gas pedal here. There is no coasting. You're not good enough to coast. Clearly, you're not good enough to coast. And the front office needs to recognize that, too. And you need an infusion of major league talent on this roster. You can't do the Brian Cashman where you say, oh, Sean Manaea, it's like a trade. Oh, Jesse Winker's back. It's like we traded for him again. No, you need to bring in major league fucking caliber players. It's not this quadruple A bullshit. Not Jared Young, who hit well in the KBO last year. Are you kidding? KBO? That's what we're talking about here? Get the fuck out of here with that shit, man. Come on. But if you want to be taken seriously, it's time to pony up. Terry Collins on Twitter said the last time the Mets were in this rough of a shape was 2015. And what did they do? Yes, they got to the World Series. But what did they do in order to cement that status? They went and got Cespedes. They got Uribe. They got Kelly Johnson. They got Addison Reed. They got Tyler Cliff. They got Major League fucking baseball players. And I'm challenging David Stearns right now. Sack up like Sandy Alderson did. Put your chips in the middle of the table and go get some fucking help. Your team needs help. You can't afford to wait. You've been waiting. More bad shit is happening while you are waiting. Do something. Do something.
Damn it.
God damn it. Fuck. Well, you know who's been doing some shit? You know who's been doing some stuff? Cal Raleigh.
Yeah, go ahead.
Big Dumper. Yeah. Big Dumper's been doing some stuff, man. He belted his 33rd home run last night and was serenaded with MVP chants. Aaron Judge is batting 385. He has 30 homers, and a lot of people have penciled him in for MVP. So what would Raleigh need to do? What would his stat line need to be by the end of the year to beat out Judge?
Man, he's going to have to beat him in three or four of the categories. I don't think they're going to. The only thing that Cal has going for him is that Judge won last year, and they like to give it to different people all the time. You know, they like to mix it up, as our friend from The Athletic, Arthur Staple, like to tell us. But I think he needs to beat him in three categories. He needs to beat him in home runs. He needs to beat him in RBI. And he needs to beat him in, I'd say, batting average. He's going to have to beat him in at least three categories. Otherwise, they're going to give it a job. And he's got to keep playing. As the other part is, you know, as a catcher. I mean, he's on my fantasy team. And the motherfucker plays every day. He plays every day. He don't miss a day.
No.
He's going to be competing in the home run derby, which is nice. They're in it, right? They're in it. They're competing for a playoff spot, so that helps. But I think he's going to have to beat him in at least three categories if he wants a chance at the MVP.
To be conservative and say three, absolutely. Batting average, I don't necessarily think is taken into consideration anymore, especially with the advanced analytics.
He can't be. Right now he's down 70 points. He can't. They're not going to. If Judge finishes the season batting 350 and this guy's batting 280, they're not going to give it to him.
His on base percentage is 387 and Judge's on base percentage is 458. That's the one you're looking at. Most people, if you're looking at any sort of advanced analytics, they're throwing batting average out the window. I disagree, you disagree, but hey, like, this is what they're focusing on. Because batting average is, you know, it's just hits. It's just your hits. On-base percentage does take into account.
Gets on base. Getting on do base. I care if it's a walk or a hit?
Yeah, that's it.
I do not.
But if one guy is at a 46% clip, and the other one's at 39% clip. You know, it's not like it's, you know, 42 and 41. There's enough of a gap there that you could lose. So he's got a 3-homer lead. He's got to widen that. Now, we've seen Aaron Judge get hot, right? We've seen him carry the Yankees offense. I think that Cal Raleigh probably needs to be in the upper to mid, you know, mid to upper 50s, maybe even the low 60s. Because when you're looking at it, we've seen Judge turn it on. Judge can pass him in like a week. One cold streak for Raleigh, one hot streak for Judge, and Raleigh's in the rearview mirror. He's at 33-71 right now compared to 30-67. I think he's going to need 57, 58 homers. I think he's going to need about 120 to 130 ribbies. Maybe more. Like, that's absurd. That's an insane amount of numbers, right? That's an insane amount of stats. But, you know, He's Cal Raleigh's pulling it off this year, man. Like,
no, he's having a great season for a catcher. And I'm telling you, he plays every day. The dude doesn't stop, which is incredible for a catcher.
And that's the other thing. Like, that's my concern.
They're not going to give him a pass just because he's a catcher. Like, a lot of people are saying, you know, because he's a catcher, it's more impressive. But they don't really care about that. He's got to play. And like I said, he's got to beat him in at least three key categories.
If it was impressive, Pudge Rodriguez would have won more MVPs.
Yeah, if it was, I don't think he has any.
If it was more impressive, Jorge Posada would have been voted for MVP.
I wonder who was the last catcher to win MVP.
I think it was Pudge.
Posey? No, Pudge never won. Probably Posey.
No, Buster Posey definitely won.
Yeah, probably Posey, I would guess.
But that's the thing. You need to... It is more impressive, and you do have to worry about him wearing down. You absolutely need to. And on that team, things change very quickly with the Mariners. They could be out of shit very, very quickly. Pudge is a one-time MVP, by the way. So, But, things can go very quickly. Teams can decide not to pitch to him. you can pitch around Cal Raleigh.
They've been pitching to him, though.
Yeah.
They've been pitching. He doesn't walk much.
No, but you don't have to in that order. You don't have to pick. You don't have to pitch to Judge either.
No, you don't.
Yeah, that's the thing. You don't have to pitch to either one of them. Teams are choosing to, and they're doing so at their own peril. But Cal Raleigh needs to be lauded for what he's doing. It's the phrase for a catcher. Just leave that. Leave that elsewhere. He's having a phenomenal year. Cal Raleigh is having a phenomenal year, and he's putting a charge into this. And ultimately, I don't think he's going to be successful. I think being a catcher in the dog days of summer, it's going to weigh on him. I think he's going to get caught. I think he's going to get lapped. And I think Aaron Judge walks away with his second MVP in 2 years. But he should be applauded. Phenomenal start. Let's see how it plays out.
Is your hair thinning or is your hairline receding? Scalp micropigmentation will fill in the areas where your hair is missing by creating a short buzz cut look. Micropigmentation is a non-invasive procedure that will create the illusion of hair follicles for 7 to 10 years. For people with alopecia, this could be a permanent fix. For people with scars on their scalp, this is a great way to camouflage a scar. Don't lose confidence or feel like you need to wear a hat wherever you go. Marquez Studio is located in the Bronx and is open for all your scalp micropigmentation needs. Consultations are free and appointments can be made any day of the week. Get your hairline back with scalp micropigmentation. The techs at Marquez Studio have over 30 years of hair cutting experience and can assist you with all of your questions. Call to schedule a consultation today, 646-221-8728. You can also visit them on Instagram at Bronx Marquez to see their gallery and view all their satisfied customers. Again, that is Marquez Studio, located in the Bronx, New York, 646-221-8728.
Fair or foul, judging the more messed up stories of the week.
All right, boys and girls, we have a statement, and it's either fair or foul. Fair or foul, number one. A team will sign Justin Tucker after he serves his 10-week suspension.
I am going to say foul just because I don't... Listen, it's clear that this was weighing on him last season, which is why he had like his worst season as a pro. And I just can't... I can't think of a situation where a team, you know, is going to bring him in week 10, 11, or 12, even if there was no injury to their kicker, and bring all that attention and answer those all those questions. I find it very oddsy that he was served a 10-game suspension. He's not on a team right now, and he's not appealing the suspension. Which leads me to believe there is some guilt there. And if there's some guilt there, there may be more stuff that's going to follow. And I don't, like in football, they don't want attention, right? So if I'm a team and I'm competing for a playoff spot, I'm going to bring this guy in and I'm going to immediately get all these questions about that ordeal. What happened? Baltimore cut you. You know, all of this. And how is that going to wear on his psyche? How's it going to wear on him the first time he shanks one? Or the first time someone gets in his face? How is he going to react to that? I understand he's one of the most accurate kickers in history. But that was yesterday. I don't know. I'd say foul.
I think it's foul as well. It's a big difference between a guy like Justin Tucker and a guy like Michael Vick. Or a guy like Plexico Burris, guys who went through the system, served their time, came out, and then continued to play, right? It's a different scenario. This is all being waged in the court of public opinion. Civil suits, allegations, so on and so forth. Like you, I agree that there's going to be way too much heat. And teams are not going to sign him for the fear of the dreaded distraction. Now, this is the same league where Deshaun Watson is employed and well paid. So, there's something, you know, there's something off about all of this. But I don't think a team like you, I don't think that there will be a team that will touch this with a 10-foot pole. Unless there's some sort of legal restitution, some sort of legal clarity. Because the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Now, he's also, like you said, he's coming off a down year. The NFL is very pragmatic. So, it is very much, what have you done for me lately? And maybe that will start to creep in. Maybe the character will help kind of dissuade teams who are considering bringing him in. But Justin Tucker should not see a field next year. Not at all. Fair or foul number two. The WNBA adding three teams by 23rd.
I just don't get it. They just added a team. They just added the Golden State Valkyries, right?
Yes.
And then I think they're on... I feel like they're going to be adding Portland and Toronto in 2026.
Yes.
And then they're trying to go with Detroit, Philadelphia, and Cleveland in 2030. I mean, I think it's foul. It's foul. Like, you're not profitable. How are you adding more teams to a non-profitable league? And who's going to be playing on these teams? Where are all these players? I'm sorry, when I drive down the street, I don't see girls playing basketball in my town. Like, who's playing on these teams? Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers and Maya Moore, and those, Candace Parker, those are generational players. They don't come up and come out every year. Plus, I think the other thing, Z, you're going to be dealing with, right, is nil. You're going to be dealing with nil. You're going to get girls that aren't going to come out. Why am I coming out? To make what? I'm not going to be making as much money as I'm going to make if I stay here and keep playing. I don't know. I mean, you're creeping up to the NBA now in total teams. How is this possible? I don't know. I think it's foul. I don't get it. I think you're growing too fast. You want to add a team? You want to add two teams maybe every 5 or 10 years? Sure, but this is... I don't know. I don't see it.
I think it's foul as well. The WNBA is a loss leader for the NBA. It's subsidized by the NBA. It's a loss leader for the NBA. So the numbers don't add up. However, there is a surge in the popularity of women's basketball due to Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and, to some degree, Sophie Cunningham and Paige Beckers. We need to see it translate. We need to see a higher increase. And it needs to be sustained and not polarizing. For some, like, the WNBA has become so polarizing. Whether you love Caitlin Clark, you hate Caitlin Clark, you love Angel Reese, you hate Angel Reese. Just let him play basketball. Play basketball. Stop trying to be the NBA, right? Be the stick. don't be the sizzle. The NBA is all sizzle and very little steak. You have the opportunity here to really make this a workhorse type league, a respectable league in that regard. But like you said, the talent pool is diluted. It's 100% true. You're adding the Toronto Tempo, you're adding Portland, you're going to add the Detroit Shock. They better call them the Detroit Shock. I'm sorry. Bring that name back. That is a damn good name. You're bringing
Detroit,
Philly in.
They barely get people to go watch the Ben play.
Yeah. You're bringing in Philly, you're bringing in Cleveland. If this is the case, your league is subsidized by the NBA. Just make it a mirror image of the NBA. We have 30 NBA teams. We have 30 WNBA teams in the same markets. Just do that. And you play the same schedule. So if the Chicago Bulls are playing the Houston Rockets, then the Chicago Sky is playing the Houston Comets. You have one before, one after, whatever. You figure that part out. But just do that. Make things a little bit easier in that regard. But it is absolutely foul at this point in time because there's no profit. There's absolutely no profit, despite its popularity, despite the growing interest. And you wonder, right? You absolutely wonder, when does it end? What's the end game here? And when is it going to become too big? When's it going to become too much? I mean, they keep throwing money into it. They keep throwing teams into it. So I can't see the end. But eventually there will be a bridge too far. Just none that we can see yet.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ, on our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout-out in this year's show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, Dave?
I don't.
That would be the New York Mets. Yes. In a poll where we had former UFC champion John Jones, who was involved in yet another vehicular incident, and Wander Franco, who was convicted of an improper sexual relationship with a 14-year-old. The New York Mets! The New York Mets took the top in that poll. What? Come on. It wasn't that bad. Or maybe it was. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstar of the Week? Dean.
All right, so first up, I've got your New York Mets.
God damn it. God damn
They're
it.
Outscored 30-4 over the weekend in Pittsburgh while being swept by the Pirates. The hits just keep on coming.
God
New York
damn it.
Mets, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, I've got the New York Yankees. They, after losing today to the Blue Jays, where they gave up 7 RBI to George Springer, which matched his career high, the Yankees are now 10-14 against the AL East.
Solid, guys. Solid. New York Yankees, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, I've got Coco Gauff. French Open winner. Started Wimbledon today and is going home from Wimbledon today. Number two seed loses in straight sets for the first round of the Wimbledon. Well done, Coco Gauff. Well done. You are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Zeke?
I knew the Mets were going to be on here. I knew it. I actually had the Mets.
I knew it.
It's fine. I have a very soccer-heavy alleged superstar list. I'm going to start with Toronto FC finally buying out your two designated Italian players, Federico Bernardeschi and Lorenzo Insigne, who have given you nada, zippo, zilch, couple in their 3 seasons in the States, 3 seasons in MLS. Bernardeschi this year has more yellow cards than goals. Ciao, as our people like to say. Wasted time, better late than never, never late is better. Toronto FC, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Man City, upset by Al Hilal in the Club World Cup, completing this terrible, horrible, no good, very bad year by their standards. No treble, no FA Cup, no Premier League, no Club World Cup, just the FA Community Shield. Come on, guys, get your shit together. What are you doing? What the hell are you doing? Man City, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And just as an aside, FIFA for the Club World Cup. You were getting nobody at these matches. I was with the fam. We went to Charlotte. We went to go see Chelsea and Benfica. And we were in the upper deck. We were in the upper bowl. There was maybe about 100 people there. The rest of the seats empty in the upper deck. 2 hour weather delay after thunder. Who called that? Enzo Marasca said it's a joke. I would say so, because after about 20 minutes or so, maybe a half hour, there was no thunder in the area. Whoever called this 10-mile radius stuff, God damn it. You just kind of burn in daylight. Something to think about a year from now when the World Cup is here. So, FIFA, a little constructive criticism. Get your shit together. And then last but not least, Jesse Marsh, the manager of the Canadian national team. Talked all that shit about how Canadian players weren't opting out, weren't asking out of the Gold Cup. Got bounced from said Gold Cup. And then, in his presser, tried to reverse course and tamp down expectations. There's walking back, there's running back. Jesse Marsh tried to sprint back those comments, and he couldn't do it. Your team couldn't write checks. They couldn't cash those checks that your mouth wrote. Hope you learned your lesson, coach. Jesse Marsh, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.